Tom, am I on up there? Yeah, I guess I am. Yeah. So move it down a little bit. I'm going to do something that struck me this week. Of course, this is Thanksgiving week, so we are kind of focused on the turkey coming up. I like turkey, I like dressing. I like all of the fixings and, you know, try to have it as much as I can. And I'm sure that you'll have your share. But I'm going to have a little unorthodox scripture here this morning. Turn to Hebrews 13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Hebrews 13, starting with verse 5. And when we get down to verse 6, we're going to skip 7 and go to verse 8. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstance and with that what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you or give you up nor leave you without support. I will not. I will not. I will not in any degree leave you helpless nor forsake nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. So what he's saying is, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to keep you in this. So be assured of God's safety and of God's hold on you. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. Are people seized with alarm these days? Yes. They are very seized with alarm. I was telling them this morning, we pray before Sunday services, and I was telling them that, you know, there are people that are concerned that in light of this pandemic, that people are afraid that their neighbors are going to tell on them if they have too many people at their house at one time. And that in certain states, the governor is encouraging them to tell on one another. Sound a little bit like Germany at a certain date and time in history? Yeah. Just not good. You know. It makes me, when we are fearful of our neighbor, it's hard for us. It's a scheme of the devil. Well, when God tells us we should love our neighbor, not be fearful of our neighbor. And so we as Christians, our neighbor is one who we are to embrace and not to be fearful of. So take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? If we are assured by God, if we are saved and have an assurance of the Lord, what can man do? Where do we put our hope? Well, our hope comes from God. Go down to verse 8. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same yesterday, today, and yes, and forever to the ages. Understand that no matter what is happening in this day and time, that no matter what is going on, no matter what is changing, no matter what governments are in charge, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nothing changes in God. All of the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. The promises that are good in prosperity are yes and amen in times of trouble. The promises are true and are real in God. What is it that we depend on? What is our foundation if we become lax? A prophet, someone that I listen to frequently, he got COVID. And I listened to his podcast and he said, all my fault. He said, God's promises are true. But I failed. He said, I knew what I should have been doing. I got lax in washing my hands. I started just being lax about what I needed to do to keep myself safe. And so I stopped washing my hands as frequently as I should have been. He said, my fault. And so he took responsibility for his actions. He says, but I'm back on my routine. He says, and I feel certain that what I'm doing is what God has told me to do. And what God is going to keep me safe during the rest of this pandemic. Do not be carried about by different and varied and alien teachings. Do you not think that there are all types of teachings going on right now? There are a lot of people that are trying to tell you different things. But what is always true? The Word of the Lord. The Scriptures. The truth. The reality of Jesus Christ. For it is good for the heart to be established and ennobled and strengthened by the means of grace, God's favor and spiritual blessing, and not to be devoted to foods, rulers of diets, and religious meals, ritualistic meals, which bring no spiritual benefit or profit to those who observe them. We have an altar from which those who serve and worship in the tabernacle have no right to eat. For when the blood of animals is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, the victim's bodies are burned outside the limits of the camp. And what it was saying was, they took the sacrifices, they didn't do it inside the city gates. They took it outside the gates and they did the sacrifice out there, outside the city gates. Now that's important. I want you to listen to that. I want you to see what is happening here in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, Jesus also suffered and died outside the city's gates in order that he might purify and consecrate the people through the shedding of his own blood and set them apart as holy for God. Let us then go forth from all that would prevent us to him outside the camp at Calvary, bearing the contempt and abuse and shame with him. For here we have no permanent city, but we are looking for the one which is to come. What the author is saying, he said, Jesus was taken outside of the city gates to be the sacrifice for all of those who were outside of the city. Those who were not accepted by the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Those who were not accepted by the religious community. Those who were not inside, but outside. He was a sacrifice for those who were not acceptable. Those who were not allowed to be in there. Those who were lepers. Those who were murderers. Those who were prostitutes. Those who were whoremongers. Those who did not were allowed in the temple. He was also a sacrifice for those who were outside of the city gates. Who were also those people? They were also the Gentiles. Because only the Jewish people were allowed to be what? In the temple. That's the only ones that they accepted. But they allowed Jesus was a sacrifice to all those that were outside. He brought those who were outside in. It was a huge thing. He's making it very clear that the sacrifice that he made was for everyone. Those of us in this room, he allowed us an entrance because his sacrifice was outside of the city gates. That should make sense to us who were outside and we accepted that sacrifice, Jesus, who was, you got to remember, he was on the cross. You can't see the cross, it's behind that screen. And if you look back there, it's right there. But he was on a cross, which was an execution for one who was convicted of a crime. He wasn't the elite. He took on a criminal's verdict to be, how do I say this? He took on this verdict and he was killed by execution. And his blood was spilt for you, though he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. And yet he was willing to go to that cross for your sin. And so when you accepted His blood, you were able to come from outside of the city gate. When you were outside, you gained entrance inside. That was your ticket. It was His blood. By faith, when He was called, in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was a man of promise. Abraham was looking for this city, not built by hands, but whose maker and architect was God. And he said, I need to find this city that is made by God, because that's the place that I want to dwell, in the city of God. And he knew that it was going to be from God. And he had to find it. How did he find it? It had to come through Jesus. It had to be. Even though Abraham had existed many, many years before Jesus, he waited in anticipation, by faith, believing that God would make this promise come true. And it was through Jesus. Now, what I love is that the promise was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. And through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of the lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. That's back to Hebrews 13. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. What is a sacrifice of praise? Now, we know what a sacrifice of an animal is. We know what a sacrifice of something that I have to give up would be. Someone were to say, I need a sacrifice for you. Back in that day, a sacrifice for your sin was to bring an animal without blemish. And you were to take that animal, and it couldn't have one blue eye and one brown eye. It had to be perfect. It had two blue eyes. Or it couldn't have any scars on it. It had to be perfect. And that perfect animal, it was slaughtered. And when that blood was taken from it, that blood was taking your sin, and it would take your sin back for a year. Just 1 year. Because you're going to have to do this again. And then the next year it happened again. Brought in the perfect animal, and they slaughtered that animal again, and then they'd bring another animal for the next year. How tedious was that? So then, when Jesus came, He died once for all. And when He died once for all, His blood covered my sin. For every sin that I have been doing, all that I had been doing, all that I am doing, and all that I will do. Jesus' blood covers me. When God looks down on me, He doesn't see Arthur. He sees me free of all sin. All that I... He sees me white as snow. I am free of sin. Of any obligation to sin. It is the blood of Jesus that covers me. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I mean, think about that. You no longer are obligated to that sin, to any sin. How much sin will take you to hell? How many?
One.
There you go. I wanted one. It just takes one sin to send you to hell. That's all. How many of y'all have done one sin? Everybody. Everybody's done at least one. This morning, that's right. This morning. Everybody has. And so therefore, we all deserve to go to hell. No one deserves to go to heaven. It is only through the blood of Christ that I get to go to heaven. So therefore, it is through His sacrifice that I have accepted that I get to go to heaven. So through that, I have a sacrifice of praise to give to God. But what makes it a sacrifice? Now, if I'm giving up an animal that has no blemish, I can see how that would be a sacrifice. I'm giving up my best cow. I'm giving up my best sheep. I'm giving up my best whatever. I can understand. That's prized stock that I'm giving up to cover my sin. But a sacrifice of praise? What makes that a sacrifice? What makes it a sacrifice is that I do it when I don't want to. People go, I don't want to go to church today. So I'm just going to stay in bed. I just roll over and just go, no, I don't think I will. Sacrifice of praise. He says, bring your sacrifice of praise. Bring in into the temple, into the storehouse. Bring it into here and say, I am going to worship the Lord, whether I want to or not. Because why? You think He wanted to go to the cross? You think He wanted to do what He had to do to cover your sin? No. He was a sacrifice for you. In fact, if you read the story, He was at Gethsemane praying, sweat. It says drops of blood, saying, God, if there's any other way that we can do this, let's do it that way. I mean, you ever prayed that? I prayed that. I don't like what's about to come down the pike. Let's do this another way. And Jesus knew what He was about to encounter. He knew that He was about to encounter death. He knew that He was going to wear a crown of thorns. He knew that He was about to be whipped. He knew that He was about to hang on a cross. He knew that He was going to be spit on. He knew He was going to be called names. He knew that it was going to be a torturous event. He knew that His disciples were going to run away from Him. He knew that His best friends weren't going to be around for Him. He knew all of this. And what? He said, God, if there's any other way, can we do that? And there wasn't another way. And probably the most hardest part of the whole thing was God had to turn his back on Jesus because he couldn't look on Jesus at the very time that he took on the sins of the world. And Jesus stood alone and took on the sin of the world. Probably the hardest thing that a father ever does in his whole life is to see his children suffer. It's just a fact of life. To see his son or his daughter suffer or struggle or do something that you wish you could do it for them. I wish they didn't have to do that. And you wish you could take it off of them. But you know they have to do it. And you go, there you go. How bad did God want to take that off of his son? I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. But he did that for you. Because he knew what Jesus had to do so that you could be restored back to him. So that you could accept his sacrifice and be reunited with God. All this happened with Adam and Eve. And he said, Jesus, you've got to go down there and fix that. And Jesus said, okay, I'll go. I'll go do that. And then he says, in this scripture right here, through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times, offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. Do you think this is a good time in our history to want to forget this scripture? Do you think there are a lot of people who are complaining and going, you know, I just can't wait till 2020 is over. Because it just a terrible time. I'll grant you, it's crazy. It's a crazy time. Things are happening and you're just going, what in the world is going on? It's amazing. You look at people and you go, what are you thinking? And you're looking at politicians and you're just going, I can't trust you anymore. And you're looking at certain things that are going on in this world and you're going, can it get any crazier? And you're just going, what do I have to praise? What do I have to be positive about? Let me tell you what you've always can be positive about God. Well, if God were God, why does he let this stuff happen? Well, let me ask you something. Do you know what God has stopped on your behalf? Do you know what God hasn't allowed to come down the pike? Do you know what God has kept you from? What disease has he not allowed you to confront? What has he lovingly, lovingly still provided for you. Do you still eat? Do you still have? Are you still provided for? We are. Is it a little harder than before? Sure. Is it for you? Maybe. But let me tell you what. What is the voice of God? We are to be the voice that praises God, not the voice that goes along with the crowd. Be certain of that. Be certain that our voice is the one that extols. We are to come and give a sacrifice of praise. Whoa. That is the one where we say, I will extol the Lord. I will give Him praise. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship. For as such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This can be the church's finest hour. We at this time could be the ones that we are the ones who show God's mercy and comfort and belief that God is able. How much does it take to show what God can do? When we tell people that God is good all the time, do we believe that? Do we exemplify that? Turn to Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus has a revelation. I like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is excited. Zacchaeus is like, man, I have met Jesus. You ever done that? Ever had an encounter with Jesus and just like, wow. Like, I just can't express to you how great it is to have met Jesus. This is just wonderful. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And he ran before, and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can you just see Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was excited, man. He's like, yes, Jesus saw me. He said, come down. He's going to come to my house. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to the guests, that with a man that is a sinner. this is what they did. Let's say I'm in the crowd, okay? And say that's Zacchaeus over there. And he's going, you know who that is. That is Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector. We don't want tax collectors. He's going to go to his house. He's a rotten scum. I can't believe that Jesus is going to go to his house. Oh, my God. Can you believe that? Good God. Okay. So he's like, oh. They're sickened by the very thought that they're going to Zacchaeus' house. So, he's going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You know what they thought? They didn't think that they were sinners. But they were. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What I want you to see here is that Zacchaeus was saved that day because he received Jesus. But what was the evidence of his salvation? His evidence of salvation was that now he was willing to give, to make right all that he had taken and to give to the poor. I am now ready to make amends for what I have done. I'm ready to repent. I'm ready to stop doing and stealing from what I have done wrongfully, and now I am ready to make amends for what I need to do. I am ready to give back. Not only give back what I've taken, but I'm ready to give back four times as much as I have taken from them. I don't know that's what Jesus is asking him to do. He's just saying that's what I want to do. And he says, I'm going to give to the poor. This was evidence of his salvation. What is the evidence of your salvation? I continue to see that the evidence of our salvation is sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of giving, the sacrifice that Jesus calls upon you to be someone who is willing to give how Christ has given to you. That's thanksgiving. That is thanksgiving. It is the evidence. It is the power. God says he gives seed to the sower. If you are a sower, if you are one who sows into the kingdom of God, God will give you everything you need to sow into the kingdom of God. If you want to give to the poor, God will give you that money to give to the poor. And I'm just not talking about money. I'm talking about clothes. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about any part that God has given you. God has a storehouse in heaven. He says he has a storehouse in heaven. And in that storehouse is all of those things that you have stored in heaven. And so when you call upon God, he will open up the windows of heaven to that storehouse to bring unto you the things that you have stored there. God is doing some great and mighty things. give a sacrifice of praise. In Psalm 26:7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Psalm 50:14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. What have you vowed unto God? What have you given unto God? What have you said? I, God, give you my heart. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I want you to expand yourself. I want you to exercise and you guys lift weights, don't you? No. I do not. Those of you who do. When you lift weights, you're always kind of going for a little bit more. Just you add 5 pounds, you add 10 pounds, you add whatever. Well, you can do that with spiritual things too. So, if you're in here and you're worshiping God, I'm asking you to add a little bit more. All of you. If you've never raised your hands in worshiping God, try it. Worship Him. If you've never sung out loud, try it. Try it. But here's what I really, I know I'm shooting for the stars, okay? Right here. Sing an original song that only you have thought in your head, an original praise song to God. Sing a song to God of praise and worship. Just, and you don't have to do it in front of anybody, just by yourself in a car going to Odessa or whatever you're doing. Just think of a tune and just sing a song. And I'm telling you, God will fill your mouth. The Holy Spirit will fill your mouth with worship and praise unto God. And you're going to go, yep. That was pretty good. I really believe God will do that thing for you. There's a lot more thankful things here. I want to end with this. In Philippians 4:6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. You know what he's saying there? He's going, go hog wild. Just get after it. Just go with reckless abandon and just go for it. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. God will do it. Let just put it out there for God to do that. And I want you to shut your eyes real quick. I'm going to I want you to ask God, Father, what do you want me to be thankful for today? And Father, what do you want me to bring a sacrifice of praise to you for? Let me go farther than what I have before. And I will put it out on the line for you. I know you put it on the line for me. So today, I will do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.